Okay. Well, we're going to turn in our Bibles. Actually, we're going to go to Romans chapter 1 first, but we're going to wind up in 1 Corinthians 15. Last week, we considered some things regarding some of the thinking that had crept in to the church at Corinth, and due to whatever reason, it could have been the influence of, you know, the Greek philosophers, the different possibilities, I suppose. There was a lot going on at Corinth. But there were some among them that said that the dead aren't going to be raised. There's not going to be a resurrection. And so what we considered that is, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ has not been raised. The word is that clear on our identification. We're going to see a little bit more of that today. And if there's no, if Christ hasn't been raised, then there's no victory over sin. The destiny of mankind is simply death. That's it. But then, you know, after showing earlier how that Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures, was risen from the dead according to the Scriptures, eyewitness after eyewitness after eyewitness, all preaching the same thing, that section simply concludes with, Christ is risen from the dead. And become the first fruits, or the first fruits offering of them that slept. In Romans chapter 1, and I think we read this last week, if I remember right, but I want to read this again because it is a critical part of this to understand. Romans chapter 1. Verse 1, we'll just start in verse 1. It says, a servant of Jesus Christ, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. And then should simply read, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared or marked out. This was the authenticating mark that this was the promised Christ. In verse 4, and declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then it should read, of Jesus Christ our Lord. That resurrection from the dead was the authenticating mark. It was what declared this Jesus the promised seed, foretold of in the Scriptures, and the one who would then continue to accomplish all of God's purposes. See, it's really remarkable. That resurrection of Jesus Christ set in motion all that will be accomplished or carried out or made manifest that will culminate in all things being made one in Christ. Now with that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And on our way to where we left off last week, I want to stop at verse 24. I mentioned last week that we would come back to this. Verses 24 through 28 are it's a parenthetical section. It is in verse 23, well, I'll show it to you again. I think we looked at this, but, and you can see it. It's pretty obvious, even in King James. Verse 23, it says, but every man in his own order, Christ, the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's coming. Now you go to verse 29, it picks up. It continues the topic that had been discussed regarding those who said there was no resurrection from the dead. Okay? So it picks it up again in verse 29. Else, what do they do that are baptized? For the dead? You know, for dead bodies? And then it continues. You go back to verse 24 through 28, it is a parenthetical phrase, and it's really beautiful. It is a bird's eye, kind of big picture view of what was set in motion with Jesus Christ being raised from the dead and the first fruits offering of them that slept. All that is foretold and promised was set in motion. All things are not yet manifest. It's all been accomplished, but that day will come. And that's what these verses discuss, kind of that bird's eye view. There's a lot to unpack in these verses, which we're not going to take the time to do this morning. I think we're going to revisit some of these things next week. But in verse 24, it says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and power." That day will come. Today, there are rulers of wickedness. There are authorities. There are things that are still in play today, but that time will come to an end. It's going to come to an end. "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." And, you know, you read about that. You can read the prophecy of it. We're going to look at some of this stuff maybe later today or next week. But when you get all the way back, all the way forward to that final judgment, that white throne judgment, and all judgment having been committed to the Son, which has been set in motion by his resurrection. Boy, they're having fun downstairs, aren't they? But in that day, the final enemy that is destroyed or made inactive is death. That's something. Which will fulfill a promise God made to death. So, verse 27, "For he hath put all things under his feet." But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest or clear or evident that he is accepted which did put all things under him. "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." That day is yet future. These things are not yet manifest. It talks about this in Hebrews. It talks about these things in a number of places. But we're not going to take the time today to drill down on some of these things. But what's important to see right now is that that resurrection of Jesus Christ is the key to everything. It is what marked him out as this Son of God, this Son of Man. You know, all of the things that were prophesied regarding this Christ. That resurrection, and we're going to see it as we go here, that resurrection guarantees our being raised should we fall asleep before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church. And it is the guarantee that all will be raised one day. All of that is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You know, it is also, it's in that resurrection, that is the proof that when he died, we were made righteous. That he carried out all that needed to be carried out to fulfill and redeem man human beings back to God himself. That's all part of that resurrection. So let's go to verse 34, which is where we left off last week. We briefly handled, be not deceived, evil communications or associations corrupt good manners or things that are right, moral ethics. Verse 34 reads, awake. And it means that the word awake means to sober up. Sober up. He's talking to these saints. Sober up. Come back to sober thinking. And sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your embarrassment. Isn't that something? There were those among them who were saying that that there is no resurrection. The dead aren't going to rise. How could they miss what this was all about? How could they miss what God and his plan was for mankind? Well, they should have. They should have. It's all part of that gospel regarding Jesus Christ. And yet there were those who didn't understand, who didn't know. They were ignorant of it. See? And so he's confronting them. He says, I speak this to your embarrassment, guys. They should know this. It's kind of neat. Verse 36. And it's going to address some things here. Or I'm sorry, verse 35. Some will say, well then, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Then the next verse reads in King James, thou fool. It's, you could translate this, it's foolish. Foolish. Number one, who are we talking about? God. And we're going to see that woven through these examples given and these illustrations. All of these things were made by God. God is the author of life. He's the author of it. So, verse 36. Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, lest it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, or a bare seed of grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other. Verse 38, but God giveth it a body that what? That pleases him. See? All of these things, again, are illustrations or examples of things made by God and things that are readily available to see, to understand. And as we continue through this, we're going to see that all of creation works like this. It's kind of neat. But God giveth it a body as has pleased him, and to every seed its own body. Then you have in verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. All of this follows. God has given these things a body as it hath pleased him. So we want to remember that as we continue through this whole section. A body as it hath pleased him. These different types of bodies or flesh listed here are perfect and beautiful for the environment in which they live and operate. Are they not? I'd look kind of silly here with wings. Right? I don't know how I'd pick up my cup of coffee. You know? Unless I had opposing feathers. I mean, it's silly to think about it, right? You know, a fish. If I were to stay in the ocean for like more than an hour and a half, right? My skin would be all wrinkled and everything else, right? Fish, they're happy as clams. See? They're designed for that. Then it goes on. Verse 49.
There are also celestial bodies or heavenly bodies.
There are bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial or the heavenly is one. The glory of the terrestrial or the earthly is another. Kind of neat. Verse 41. There is one glory. Now we're discussing, you know, these different heavenly bodies that we can see. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. As a matter of fact, one star differs from another in glory. But all these things were made by God.
So also, verse 42, is the resurrection from the dead.
This is sort of neat because you're going to see a comparison here. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. You could understand this as it is sown as a perishable body. It is raised as an imperishable body.
It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory.
And that dishonor, is a result of Adam's transgression, and we'll come to this a little bit more in a minute, but it's a result of Adam's transgression. And, well, I'm going to leave it at that for right now. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what?
Power.
Isn't that something? All of these things being compared. Weakness. Power. These bodies are subject to death. The bodies that are coming will not be. Then it says, it is sown a natural body. And this word natural is a description. It's an adjective, and it's a description of that which is given life by soul or soul life. That's that natural body. It's given life by soul life. There is a natural body. Oh, I'm sorry. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a what? A spiritual body. We have all of these illustrations or examples, but we also have the illustration and example of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? And we're going to see this in a moment. He had a natural body. He had a body that was given life by soul. Right? That body died. He was dead. 3 days and three nights, dead. And when God got him up from the dead, he was raised with a spiritual body. That which gave it life was no longer soul. It's really remarkable. And as we kind of drill down on some of these things, we're not going to today, but what Jesus Christ was raised with was brand new. It had never been done or seen before. There's a record in Luke where Jesus Christ appears in the middle of the disciples, and they say they were afraid because they thought he was a spirit. He said, "No, it's me. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bone."
touch me. He was brand new. The firstborn of many to come. Isn't that something? So we have that illustration or example of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose natural body died and it was raised a spiritual body. We don't know a whole lot about that body, but it's going to be good. That's all I know. We can learn a little bit, you know, spending time in the Gospels, but it's going to be good. I'll tell you this, it's not going to be perishable. It's not going to be weak, right? Pretty amazing. So, let's keep going here. Let's read verse 44 again. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made or became a living soul. And the last Adam, a quickening or a life-giving spirit. Just as Adam is the source for what gives these bodies life, soul, so the last Adam will be the source of what gives the new bodies life. Do you follow? And in all of this, you see the mind-blowing justice of God. It's really something. When Adam transgressed, and you can read about this in Romans 5, God placed all of mankind under Adam. And so that the results of that transgression, of the sin, that rebellion against God, and the resulting death or loss of spirit, which ultimately resulted in God keeping him from the tree of life and making man now subject to physical death, all those things were done so that one day God could put mankind under the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? You see the justice? While I may look and say, you know, in a moment of human weakness, without an understanding, I look and I say, why do I have to, you know, bear the results of Adam? But on the other hand, what can I do to deserve what Jesus Christ ultimately wrought for me, which we're reading about here? Because this is coming. This is coming. I mean, we are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. And it's ultimately God is going to dwell or tabernacle with men. That's where this is all going to land. Isn't that incredible? And it's all set in motion by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it is written, again, verse 45, the first Adam, the first man, was made a living soul or became a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening or a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. Something to keep in mind here, and again, I think we'll take a little look at this next week. Jesus Christ was born out from the dead. He is the first born of a new creature. the scripture foretelling regarding his resurrected body, it says, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." See? Isn't that remarkable? It was in that spiritual body, that resurrected body, where God says, "This day have I begotten thee." And it's unto that risen Son of God that God has given all the authority that we read about in verses 24 through 28. And he's not ashamed to call us brothers. So, that first man of the earth is of the earth or of the dust. The second man is, and it just simply should read, from heaven. Most critical Greek texts don't have the phrase "the Lord," is from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. Boy, it's beautiful. And as we have borne or worn the image of the earthy, we shall also bear or wear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. This body of soul which gives this flesh life, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to have a new body. We're going to be raised with new bodies, fashioned like unto his glorious body, it says in Philippians. It's pretty remarkable. You know, Adam had a body originally that was perfect and made for its environment, for him to rule and be second in command to God and manifest who God is in the earth. But when he rebelled against God and handing over all of that authority and that working relationship that he originally had with God, he handed it over to Satan. And so the results of that were so catastrophic that amazing thing that God had done originally became a dishonorable thing to God. Isn't that remarkable? But that will never happen again. Because Jesus Christ is the last Adam. Which is pretty wild. Then it says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." This is something that was not foretold in Scripture. This is something that was part of this time of grace, part of this church of the one body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, those who are alive. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now this is not the end, but for the church, that's it. There are a lot of events that will take place after our gathering together with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a period of time. There are things that will need to be accomplished and carried out. And we'll be a part of all of that because we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? This is something God is going to do. You know, you can read in John 5. It's so incredible. What Jesus Christ did, and he did all of this by his free will, but his Father revealed to him the authority that he had. And when Jesus Christ was dealing with some of the religious leaders in John 5, he says, all of those in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and shall be raised. Some unto the resurrection of the just, some unto the resurrection of the unjust. Again, just as the life that gives this body life came from Adam, that new life is going to come from this last Adam, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful illustration that is being drawn and how that God set all of this? He knows what he's doing. He's a professional. Don't try this at home unless he tells you to. He really is. It's just going to be remarkable. And he wants us to know this. He wants us to know it. This, we don't have to speculate about some of these things. We can know them. It's amazing. O death, verse 55, where's your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, these things look like they have temporary, temporary power. And it is temporary. There is a sting to death. There's a finality to a loved one dying, a loved one falling asleep. And there's hurt associated with it. There is sorrow associated with it. But ultimately, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the day will come. The day will come when this is going to be said. Where's your stinger now? Hey, grave, where's your victory now? Because it will no longer be. Isn't that something? All in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it says in verse 57, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, verse 56. The sting of the death is the sin, is how it should read, and the strength of the sin is the law. Well, Jesus Christ overcame both. Ha! Right? He condemned sin and he fulfilled the law. He was the only man. This last Adam was perfect. He was a perfect specimen of what God had always intended for mankind, to work and walk in perfect harmony and conjunction with him. Adam threw it away. Jesus Christ accomplished it and won it back as the last Adam. And then it says, verse 57, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, stay put, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, even those things that nobody knows about, even those things that nobody sees, none of that is without purpose. None of that is in vain. See? Isn't that something? Because we are headed toward what the Word calls our hope. And this day will come. Boy, and it's pretty amazing. Ha! Pretty amazing. So all of that is wrapped up in that resurrection. And, and there's these are just some of the things that God reveals to us and the things that God wants us to know. And, so when you read in the Word, looking not at the things that are seen, but the things that are what? Unseen. See? Our heart, our focus is on where our real life is hid, which is in Christ. That's where our real life is hid. It's in Christ. And there's going to become a day in Colossians 3 where it's going to be revealed. It's all going to make clear. Jesus Christ, people are going to know who Jesus Christ is. No mistake about it. None. That's something. And they're going to know who we are. All this is accomplished in Christ. So, it's pretty awesome to get to be a part of this. So I think I'm going to pray.